Let's take our Bibles and turn to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 16. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 16. We're going to look at verses 24 through 28 again. Last week we looked at Jesus said, if you're going to come after me, then you have to deny yourself. And I hope that it helped you some. That is a constant need in your entire Christian walk. It's not just one-time self-denial. It's a lifetime of self-denial. Your flesh will always want to do what's contrary to what God wants. One old-time pastor said, self-denial is to lose sight of oneself, to forget oneself. If you've got focus on your life and what you want and things and you know self hasn't been put in its place yet. If your focus is on Christ and what Christ wants and His glory, His kingdom, and you know self is being put down in the place that it ought to be. Brother Brian gave the men a message. I shared this with you last week as well, titled, I Die Daily. I did have a chance to listen to that entire message, and I would say this, it's a wonderful message, it's very helpful, but I can't talk like that, and I can't preach like that. So you may want to go listen to it, because you probably get a lot more help out of that. It was very wonderful and helpful, and so I do recommend it. But I do want to try this morning to add to what Jesus said, or to continue with what Jesus said when he said, "Take up your cross." In Matthew chapter 16, verse 24, Jesus said unto his disciples, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it." So there's a lot of people just holding on to things they want. And Jesus said, if you just dump that, lose what you want, die to that, and I will give you real life. And then he goes on to say, "For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" If you get the things you want in the flesh, what is it going to cost you? It may cost you your soul, your life. "For what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you for another opportunity to ponder what you said to us through the disciples when you said, if we are going to pursue after you, if we're going to come after you, we have to deny ourselves. And I pray, Father, that you would just help that to be constantly on our mind. Lord, as much as the flesh fights to regain control, we need the Holy Spirit of God to remind us often to put flesh in its place, Lord, to resist its wishes, desires. And Lord, the only way that we can constantly be aware to do that is with your help. And we ask for that help today. But Lord, you also said that we have to take up our cross. And I pray, Father, that you give us a better understanding of what that means. If we're going to come after you, if we're going to be what you would have us to be, we have to bear our cross, take it up. Lord, I pray that the Holy Ghost would say what needs to be said to the heart of your own children. Lord, only you can teach them, only you can direct them, only you can help them to see the decisions they need to make. And or there may be some even that are unsaved in this very service. Help them to realize that they may end up losing their eternal soul if they don't quickly come to Christ and be saved. And Lord, only you can press that on their heart and convict them and draw them. We ask you that you would do that, not so that we would gain anything from it, but so that Jesus' work on the cross would be not in vain, but it would be honored. And Lord, it would take place in the heart of a believer, someone who would believe this morning in Jesus. We ask God for your help. We pray for grace this morning. Use us, God, to say what we ought to say, and Lord, keep us from saying things that would not help us this morning. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
How many of you, when it comes to getting into some really cold water, choose to just dive in? Just go ahead and dive in. All right. How many of you just creep in? Just slowly. All right. Some of you don't dive in or creep in. I take it you don't even go in at all. He's not even going in. Well, a lot of times what we want in life is just get something over with. You know, and I'm afraid even within Christianity, we have a tendency to think, well, if I just get saved, then okay, I'm done with that. You know, I got saved. All right, it's over. But that's not what Christianity is.
No,
it's not just saying a prayer in the altar, Lord Jesus, save me. Okay, now I don't have to worry about going to hell. That's not what Christianity is at all. Christianity is living in a right relationship with God, which is only possible through the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It is a daily walk with God. And what should be taking place is we should be getting closer and closer to God. Ezekiel gives us a little bit of that jumping in the water, and he says in Ezekiel chapter 47, and this is a good picture of the Christian life, for you that jump into cold water, I understand wanting to get it over with, so I'm not saying that's not a practical thing to do, but in Ezekiel chapter 47, Ezekiel is shown by this man, I think he's representing the Lord Jesus Christ, this body of water. And verse 3, it says, when the man that had the line in his hand went forth eastward, he measured 1,000 cubits. It's about 500 yards. And he brought me through the waters, and the waters were to the ankles. So he said, I'm bringing you to the waters. And he said, okay, 500 cubits in is to your ankles. And then he says, and again he measured 1,000 cubits, as he's referring back to it, 500 yards, and brought me through the waters, and the waters were to the knees. Again he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters, and they were to the loins, up to my waist. Afterward he measured 1,000. It was a river that I could not pass over, for the waters were risen, waters to swim in. The river could not be passed over. And many Bible commentators, really, it says this is an expression of the Christian life, that God really wants to take you deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper into the Lord Jesus Christ. I think too many Christians are sitting on the edge of the water, and they're enjoying like little children running in just the very footsteps of the water. Not even in the water. They got saved and they're just pattering in the mud. I think they're pattering in the mud because they don't realize what we're called to as Christians. We're not called to get a ticket to heaven. We're called to a vital living union with Jesus Christ, and the only way that living union with Christ takes place is if we deny ourselves daily, take up our cross, and pursue the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only way, and that's what Christ wants for every single one of us, to constantly be saying no to the flesh and then constantly dying to self and taking up our cross and following Him. And the more that we do that, the more consistent that we do that, the more and more we look and act like the Lord Jesus Christ, and the greater glory Jesus gets from that. See, a lot of Christians are kind of just aimless. They got saved, and they go to Sunday school, they go to church, they hear the music, and then they go home, their Bibles stay on the shelf, and that's their Christianity. I got saved, I go to church, and then I go home, I'm a Christian. That's not what it's about at all. It's about your relationship with Jesus Christ. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 26 says, ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. He said, look, you need to be looking at a direction and walking purposely in life, or you're never going to develop and mature as a Christian. Remember, even in 2 Peter chapter 1, in verses 5 through 10, Peter is trying to encourage us not to be docile, not to be aimless, but he presses the word diligence, diligence, diligence on us. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 10, this is what the Apostle Peter says, and besides this, or based on this, he's talking about we have partakers with the divine nature. Because we are partakers with the divine nature, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, temperance, to temperance patience, to patience godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness charity. He said, look, that takes a diligent, give all diligence, not just diligence, an effort on our part. It's not that we could just ride on the bus to heaven and not be engaged in our maturity. We have to be looking at our life, resisting the flesh, yielding to the Spirit, and bearing that cross that Jesus tells us to bear. He goes on to say, for if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, you shall never fall. Why do we see so many Christians falling? Because they're not denying self, they're not bearing their cross, they're not pursuing Christ, they're sitting on a pew like a knot on a log, and they're not doing much about their Christian maturity. You're not going to mature in Christ by accident. It's going to take a diligent, listen, painful effort. How many of y'all know even denying yourself sometimes is painful? Right? You really want something bad. The flesh is craving it. And you have to fight that flesh. It is a struggle sometimes to fight that flesh, isn't it? But great and sweet is the victory.
Right.
Amen?
Amen?
But it don't mean that it's going to be an easy thing. Right?
Amen.
And so that's what Jesus really wants to press on us. This Christian life is not for wimps. You know, some people say getting older is not for wimps. Well, the Christian life's not for wimps either.
Right.
It's for people who want to be pleasing to God. And realize that there is a cost to this Christian life. It does cost. Right? Jesus said in Luke 14, count the cost. What is it going to cost me? It's going to cost me my life. And I'm not about just dying physically. It's going to cost me everything. And when you're young, they tell you, your parents say, hey, what do you want to do when you grow up? What do you want to do? And then you try to pick something, career something, and you pursue it in college, and you get the degrees, and you start making the big money. It may cost you all of that.
Yeah.
Why are so many, a few young people accepting the call to be a pastor or a teacher or a missionary in our day? Because they're living for this world. And let me say something to you. They may even be saved. And they've considered the cost. And they said, no, I'm not going to pay that price. I'm not going to live in poverty. I'm not going to go without. My family will have what I want them to have. Well, you may end up losing your own soul. But what does it cost to be a disciple of Jesus? It costs everything. And that's what Jesus wants us to see it. You can't live for yourself and for Christ. Notice, your cross is personal.
Right.
See what Jesus says in that? He says that you have to take up his your cross. Not my cross. Now certainly we have a cross because we embrace the cross of Christ. And because I'm crucified with Christ, I'm a part of what took place at Calvary. But I have to personally face a cross in my own life. When we look at our Lord Jesus going up to Calvary, we see that even his trip to the cross wasn't just the, oh, well, it's no big deal. We see our Lord in the Garden of Gethsemane agonizing in prayer before the crucifixion. I think it's Luke that tries to describe how intense it was. He said the sweat that was coming off Jesus was as great drops of blood. It was an intense, agonizing, he was earnestly groaning in prayer. Three times he said to the Father, "Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. If it's possible, let this cup pass from me." But thank God he concluded that prayer by saying, "Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done." And you and I should not expect anything different than that in the Christian life. The sad thing is that's what we are expecting. See, we hear the message of the gospel today, and this is the gospel message. Come to Jesus, and he'll heal you, and you'll be happy, and all your problems will be solved. Isn't that the common message we hear today in churches? Come to Jesus, and all your problems will be over. How many of you went the day after you were saved found out I've got a whole new world of problems? And I told you about our neighbor that came, knocked on the door, and we used to live here at the little trailer, me and Brennan, the kids. And he had been on crack and he got saved. And knocked on the door and opened it, and he just walked right into the house. And he said, "It is hard to live a Christian life." And I think maybe even wrongly said to him, "The way of the transgressor is hard." Jesus said, "Take my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And those things are true. But let me tell you something: fighting the flesh sometimes is just crucified. And you know what? That's what we repulse. That. There have been times in every one of our lives that God came to us. And he touched our Isaac, right?
Amen.
Isaac was a promised seed. And God said to Abraham, y'all remember the story, Genesis chapter 22? He said, "Now I want you to take Isaac up on top of the mountain, and I want you to offer him up as a sacrifice." And thank God for Abraham's faithfulness, because he went up on the mountain, laid his son on the altar, took out the knife, and God said, "Now I don't want you to take his life. I've provided me a ram. You offer that up as a sacrifice." Well, why did God do that? Because God wants us to say, there's nothing that you can't have. Anything in my life that you want, it's yours. And the cross is something that you and I have to personally deal with. It's your cross. And by the way, the master potter, sometimes, you know, clay's harder. Sometimes it's softer. He knows exactly what to work in your life to help you become like Jesus Christ.
Yes, he does.
And all of us are going to have a cross.
Amen.
In our hymn book, the hymn 519 in our hymnal.
Amen.
It's, "Must Jesus bear the cross alone? And all the world go free." How many of y'all know the rest of that?
For me.
And he responds, though, to that question, "And all the world go free?" And the answer is no. No. There's a cross for everyone, and there's a cross for me. And there's no way to escape that cross that Jesus wants you to bear and live the Christian life. It's not going to be roses and petals and soft things. Sometimes it's going to be hard.
Yes.
You say, "Preacher, how do I get through the times of hardness?" By clinging to Jesus Christ and saying, "Jesus, you were in the garden and you faced the cross. And you were terrified at that and becoming sinful. And I don't know what to do. I can't handle this. But Jesus, give me grace to die to myself and to bear this cross." See, he doesn't ask you to go through that cross without his help and assistance. But you're going to have to. You've got to be the one that deals with it. Nobody can take your cross for you. They can pray for you. They can come alongside of you. They can help you. But nobody can take your cross for you.
No.
It is a personal cross that you and I must bear. And let me remind you, it's also a painful cross.
Yes, it is.
Remember Jesus as he faced the crucifixion. They took him up Calvary's hill. By the way, that whole thing, he's a beaten, bloody pulp of a man. Isaiah said his visage was so marred more than any man. I think if you looked at Jesus, you probably couldn't even tell that he was a man. He had been beaten in the face, the crown of thorns, his beard has been plucked, the scourging has done. Now he's carrying a cross on his back all the way up to Golgotha's hill. And remember, under the weight of that cross, our Lord fell. Until they had to get Simon to come and say, hey, get that cross up the rest of the hill. And then when they got Jesus up to the top of the hill, they nailed him to that cross and they hung him there between heaven and earth. And there Jesus is dying a slow, horrifying death. When Jesus said to his disciples, take up your cross, they knew what that meant. It was not just words in a book. They were horrified at the crucifixion. They saw men suffer sometimes weeks up there on the cross until they died. They knew this was one of the most horrific deaths that you can die. And now Jesus is saying, I have to do this as well. It reminds me of Jesus in John chapter 6 when he says to his disciples, except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no part with me. And the multitude of disciples said, that's too hard for us. We're gone. And Jesus turned and looked at his own 12 disciples and said, will you go away also? And they said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of life. Where are you going to go to live the Christian life? How are you going to get closer to Jesus? You're going to have to endure the pain of the cross. You said, preacher, what kind of pain are you talking about? You're going to have to endure humiliation.
Right.
And by the way, Christians are not good at that.
No,
you know, if somebody embarrasses us, our pride rises up pretty quickly, doesn't it?
Yeah.
One of the reasons people don't like going door knocking. They hate the feeling when someone comes to the door and looks at them and says, I'm not interested in that, and shuts the door, and they feel like, oh, man, what? And you know what? We ought to respond, when that hits us and we feel humiliated like that, we ought to say, Lord, thank you for this cross. I'll bear that, Jesus. Can I remind you that Jesus, when he was up on that cross, was nearly completely unclothed as a part of the crucifixion? It was a humiliation of that person as well. He hung there exposed before mankind. And you and I, we're put in a situation, we get a little bit embarrassed. Guess what happens? We fight. We want to put up the fist. I mean, even among ourselves sometimes, even in the world, so someone, you know, embarrasses us a little bit. No, I'm not going to put up with it. You're not going to embarrass me. You know, sometimes it's brutal. God comes to you and he says, I want you to forgive. Let me tell you something. Some people have a big problem with that. You know why? Because when they were a child, they were molested. You say, Lord, how in the world could I ever forgive someone who done something like that to me? I cannot let that go. I will not let that go. That person deserves to be punished. That's wrong, and it is wrong, and they deserve to be punished. But you can't hold on to that. You know what you have to do? Listen to me. You have to forgive by faith. You say, preacher, what does that mean? You say, Lord, you said I have to forgive them, and I'm going to forgive them based on what your word said. And then next day or so, hour or so, you're like, you know, that was really terrible. You shouldn't forgive. You say, no, I've done what Jesus said. I've forgiven them. I'm leaving that with Jesus. And you're going to probably have to keep doing that for a while. And so when you talk about forgiveness, that's not an easy thing sometimes. Now, we've seen people whose loved one was taken. And they would go to the family that took their loved one and say to them face to face, "I forgive you." And some of us don't even have a clue. You know what that is? That's dying.
Yes, it is.
You know what happens a lot of times? God will put you in a situation and you work real hard and you've done a great job and no one will even notice it. And you'll be like, "No one's going to say anything?" I mean, it looks like someone would say at least, "Good job," or "Thank you." How many times, even as a wife, you've been there, or a husband, you've been there, or even as a child, you did something really nice at home, and you expect your mom and dad to say, "Hey, thank you," and nobody said anything, and you're just going to have to die. You know what you want to do? You want to say, hey, you know, did you see? You know, hours and hours. And you're going to have to say, "No, I'm not going to insist on someone recognizing me. I'm just going to die to it." And listen, this is across the board so many times. Something happens and you know how we are, right? And we're going to just have to die to it and die to it and die to it. And there's many times it's going to be very hard to do that. A cross is never easy. If it was something easy, Jesus would never use the cross. It always hurts. I mean, we talk about it all the time here in church about being cut off in traffic. How many of you are really good when people cut you off in traffic? Not responding at all. You don't do anything. Your heart rate doesn't even increase. Now be careful because we're going to give you one of these like Fitbits or something and just check your pulse when you like get cut off in traffic. Mine spikes. And sometimes I'll be doing the right thing, but in my heart I'm like, "Oh, that is so bad. Why did they do that?" And I have to fight that. Here you all have to fight that sometimes. And why does God keep allowing that to happen over and over and over again? Because He's trying to get you to die to your own self. You know what a dead man would do if he got cut off in traffic? Nothing. Right? Is that true or not? Nothing. And so much of our Christian life is hindered because we are not just dying to ourselves. You know, it's good when you're going to the line to check out and somebody cuts in front of you. You know why that's good? Because it's a great opportunity for you to say, "Lord, I'm not that special anyway. Who am I? I'm dead. Your will be done." You say, "Preacher, you know, we're to thank God and everything, right?" Yes. And you know what? Sometimes things are really hard. I haven't even dealt with, some of you have deal with pain constantly. Constant pain. And you're like, "What is the purpose of this?" It's to constantly die to self. Constantly die to self. Why does God do the things in your life that He does? He's trying to bring Jesus out. He's trying to get Jesus out. And if you would just let Him, He would get Jesus out of your life. Our biggest problem is ourselves. Being unwilling to lay our life down and say, "Lord, I'm dead. Do with me whatever you want and get glory out of my life." Amen? But let me end by saying this. Your cross is also productive. This is what we don't get. Remember what Jesus said back in Matthew chapter 16? Right after he said, look, I want you to take up that cross. I want you to follow me. Look at what he said right after that. One more time. Look at what he says. He says, verse 25. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. You can do that. You can hold on to what you want, where you want to live, what you want to do, where you want to work. You can do all that. But you're going to be the one that loses. But look at what else he says. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall. And then go down to verse 27 again. For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. In John chapter 12, verse 24, Jesus gives a similar lesson. I think this was on a different occasion, but John 12, he says in verse 23, Jesus answered them and said, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. That glorification was his death on the cross. He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, verse 24, except the corn of wheat, a grain of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone, but if it die, what does it do? It bring forth much fruit. You say, preacher, I'm not getting anywhere in my Christian life. Well, you can't get anywhere in your Christian life until you realize what the Christian life is all about. And what the Christian life is all about is saying no to yourself and then dying. And that death is a, by the way, the crucifixion wasn't short. And sometimes in one area of your life, it'll hurt a long time. But what does it produce? Jesus said, if it's just one grain of wheat, it stays by itself. But if it dies, what will it do? It will bring forth much fruit. You see, what you want as a Christian, and I know because I want the same thing, but because you have the same Holy Spirit that I have, what you want in the Christian life is to glorify God. You want to be filled with the Spirit, and you want to see some fruit. How many say amen? Is that pretty good? I want to just see people get saved. I want to walk with God. I want to hear the voice of God. I want to be close to Jesus Christ. I that's what I want in my Christian life, preacher, but I've been in church now, I've been saved for a long period of time, and I don't see none of that. That's because you don't know what it means to be a disciple yet. Being a disciple doesn't mean that you get up in the morning, read three chapters a day, and then go on and live your life as you want to.
No.
Being a disciple means that you're going to have to die.
Exactly.
Not physically, but you're going to have to die to yourself, and that death comes in many different ways.
Yes.
There are many nails that's used in our crucifixion.
Yes.
But when we're crucified, as Jesus brought forth great fruit, we also can become fruit-bearing Christians. When Jesus died on the cross, Hebrews talks about this. He despised the shame. It was hard. But he knew the end result would be the salvation of many. And so that helped him to endure that death. And now I don't know, billions of people are in heaven because of what Jesus did on Calvary. Amen?
Amen?
And in your life, you can be a strong, healthy, Christ-like person, but this is what it takes to be that strong, healthy, Christ-like person. Is that what Jesus said? If you come after me, this is what I'm going to require.
Amen.
And until we meet those conditions, we're going to be a little bit frustrated with our Christian life. We're going to get kind of, is it worth it? I mean, what's this all about anyway, preacher? Because our flesh is still dominating us. But if we never give in to Jesus words here. And begin to deny ourselves and then die to self constantly, we would see fruit in our life as well. This is what Jesus is trying to get his disciples to see. And it's not just talking about his death. If you go, if you're at John 12, notice what he says right after that. It's not, he's saying, look, you need to die too. That used to be the counsel of pastors to Christians who were struggling. They'd say, you need to just go somewhere and die. Not physically die, but get to a place where you're not living for you no more. Just die to your will, die to self. That's how you're going to resolve this problem in your life. Notice what he says, verse 25, he that loveth his life shall lose it. That, so he is definitely talking to us in verse 24 as well. You're not just talking about what he would do at Calvary. He's talking about us as well. He that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If a man serve me, let him follow me. You want to be productive and fruitful? This is what it costs to be productive and fruitful. And by the way, I want to be more obedient to Matthew 16:24 than I have ever been in my entire life. And I believe that's what God wants many of us to resolve in our own hearts. And this is what it's going to take for me to be what Jesus wants me to be. Amen? God help each of us to do that. First step, though, is we must be saved. You can't follow Jesus until you meet Jesus as your Savior. If you have never been saved and God is dealing with your heart about being saved, you need to respond to Jesus and come and receive Christ as your personal Savior. If you have been saved, but you're just in a state like, I don't know what to do, I don't know where to go, would you strongly consider Matthew 16:24? And start looking at your life and get serious about it. Say, okay, now listen, where is my flesh getting victories? And start dealing with those areas. And then when God gives an opportunity for you to die to self, and it's in a multitude of things that you say, well, I don't have to have my way here. I don't have to be first in line. I don't have to do this. And then you're going to see what God will do in your life as you follow Jesus. Amen?
Amen?
Let's stand for prayer. Father, please help us. You're far better, Lord, at explaining the cross and its effect in our lives than I could ever do.